our story. So we usually start the night with a member of the Nerdalogs, even though Shithole was so kind to do most of the booking for us tonight and get most of the audience. You guys are just so fucking great in Shithole. Thank you. But our first speaker of the night is homegrown. This is Claire Friedman.
Yeah. Eric, I have terrible news. Shithole sent me an email to book me.
No!
I'm so sorry. My story is going to be one of very recent importance to me. So this morning I got back from attending my grandmother's funeral over in Iowa, and the funeral itself was yesterday, and we drove back this morning. So really what I wanted to do was just address a lot of the questions that people had about my grandmother, whom I know you all knew very well. People were all night and the whole afternoon since I've been back, people have just been like, Janice, Janice, Janice. And I'm like, I get it. So I figure I have this time on stage. Everyone wants to talk about Janice. And I'm just going to go through the questions that everybody has asked me, and that way we can get them all out really quickly. So the first question, did she win? Which is obviously the most important question to her. And the answer is yes, because she was 97, and Elner and John, her brother and sister, were only 95 and 92 when they died. So she was not only the last surviving, but she was also the longest surviving. And so that was her one goal. So once she made it to 96, we knew that she was on her way up. And I know this comes from the eulogy at the funeral that we were all at together. So how is it possible that she was 45 on Seth's, my cousin's, sixth birthday? The answer is, of course, because she's a liar. She's a big liar. That would have made her 61 when she died. So she was almost 70 when she said she was 45. And he just believed it. And as he was 7 and 8 and 9, he just said, happy 46th birthday, happy 47th birthday. And she kept it going for years with no one being any the wiser. And then the question that is really the most important for her, how did the morticians do? Pretty good, all things told. The really nice touch was they matched her nail polish to her rosary, which was really, really nice. I thought that was such a nice touch. I really did. Her eyebrows were drawn on perfectly. Her hair was styled right. She never would have worn those two shirts together, let's be honest. But, you know, she wasn't there to say it, so somebody has to. And on the eyebrows, you know, when was the first time you saw her without her eyebrows on? Sunday. My brother and I had driven out to Iowa to go, you know, say our goodbyes because we knew that she was on our way out. And she lost her eyebrows and eyelashes when she had scarlet fever when she was like 3 or 4 years old. So she hasn't had them. As a 97-year-old, I'm 26, so in 26 years I never saw her without perfect makeup, especially her eyebrows, until she was literally barely conscious in a hospital bed. That was the first time, and she would have been mortified if she knew. So let's never mention that. But they did a very good job. And on the point of funeral homes, why did you use Wirth Funeral Home instead of Halligan McCabe? This has come up a lot. Halligan McCabe, of course, is like run by some second cousins or something like that. But apparently, in my grandmother's words, in Janice's words, the last few funerals she went to there, she felt like they were measuring her. So she insisted we go to the other one. And like, as my cousin Katie put it, like, oh my God, you've never been to a Wirth funeral? They're so much better. So I think that's what she would have liked. And a couple of you did notice, like, hello, yes, these are the earrings that she had in her coffin. Very, very nice. They were in her casket. And I have them on my head now. And I mean, she had really specific instructions. She's had her funeral planned for 13 years. The tombstone's been in the ground for 14. It's fine. But, that she was going to be in the coffin for the visitation wearing all of her jewelry, and then all of that jewelry would be given away to all of the female members of the family prior to her going into the ground. And so this was supposed to be in the coffin and then handed over to me. So I'm wearing them, of course, because otherwise I'll lose them immediately. Did her fears about low funeral attendance come true? No! It was the damnedest thing. You know, she was 97. She was always so afraid of being the last one to die so no one would come to her funeral. and a lot of people wound up showing up. It was very nice. It was a very, very Iowa Catholic thing where every single member of the state came to a 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday funeral. Oh, another coffin question. What was her final height? We think around 4'6". She kept insisting it was 4'6". I think she was still around 4'8". She'd been shrinking from 5'1 down for years and years. So, like, let's just give her that one. She's 4'6", okay? Let's just give her it. She's very proud. She's very proud. And, you know, the last time I saw her, she was very small. She had shrunk a lot. And we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, her life and things. And the question came up a couple times there, and I'm sure here again. How many times was she engaged? Four. She was engaged four times. One of those was my grandfather. The other three, she, again in her words, had no intention of ever marrying. Which begs the question, what were you doing to those poor men? One of them, she took the engagement ring and she sold it for $35. We don't know who the second one was. The third one, she didn't marry because he was a mama's boy. And she especially illustrated that by saying, he was such a mama's boy. His mother came to me and made me give the engagement ring back. And we said, Janice, of course they did. That's what you're supposed to do. You broke off an engagement. You give the ring back. You don't sell it to a pawn shop. Jesus Christ. Crazy woman. We did find out the name of one of those paramours, though, because it was on the return address of an envelope that she got that she had saved from when she was living in L.A. Why was she living in L.A.? Why did she leave? We have no idea. We'll never know. She was there for 6 months, stayed with her aunt. I now have the address. So I'm going to go visit it the next time I'm there. But we will literally never know why she left and then returned to small-town Iowa from Los Angeles. Where is her wedding ring? We don't know. Maybe stuck in the couch. We're trying to find it. Are you taking the hutch? This is mostly for my dad. I don't know. I'm being really indecisive about it. I don't know how to get it back here. I don't know where to put it, but it's just so pretty. I feel like I should take it. What were her last words to you? Okay, this one's a little harsh, but to be fair, she said it to every single relative of mine for the last 5 years as we were leaving her her housing complex. Her last words to me were, the next time you see me, I'll be dead. She said that for 5 years. It was like, we know. Like, maybe you won't, and we'll have another surprise visit where you'll, like, just still be around. Just still cracking. She was ready to die. No, it's fine, you guys. She's 97 years old. It's fine. What were your last words to her? I like this question. This is much better because, you know, by the time that we did see her last, we figured it would be our last time. So the last things that I said to my grandmother, Janice Margaret Reynolds, was, I love you and stay out of trouble. Which is true. I love her a lot. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Claire. Thank you, man. So Claire not only made the show tonight, but also made our show Sunday here. Two marathon drives back just to do the show. Thank you so much. Five people in the audience will understand why I'm saying this, but I hope the five of you think this is funny as I did when she said it to me. Your stories is bad for grandmas. All right. So if you guys knew me 2 years ago, you get where I'm going with that.